It's 1:33 on Sunday, the 30th of July, and I can't believe July is already gone. That's really that's really the most mind-blowing thing out of all of this, that July, no matter who you are, seems like it zoomed by. Listen, I'm Nate Jackson, comedian extraordinaire, and along with me is my road manager and also a podcast aficionado, a videographer, a multimedia company owner, a marketing genius, my man, Heath Hollingsby, Doctor.
Dr. Hollingsby.
Dr. Hey, Hollingsby.
When we're sitting in a hotel lobby in Philadelphia.
In hot-ass Philadelphia, too. Can we just discuss how much warmer this year feels than other years?
Yeah, it's brutal, man.
Like, it's been hot as balls.
Everywhere, and it feels like everywhere we go, it just gets hotter and hotter and hotter.
Every other city we go. It's been hella hot. So we just got back. We just got to Philly, back to the States from Montreal, Canada. And Montreal was special, okay? It was the thing that dreams are made of.
Yeah.
For years in my comedy career, everyone has been telling me how Montreal is where, you know, you go and you do a good set and then it turns into late night TV spots and acting spots and meetings and production and all this and touring and you know, millions of dollars worth of deals are cut in Montreal. And I never believed it. I mean, I saw it, but I don't know if I believed it for me.
Sure.
And then this year, I think it's safe to say shit got real.
Yeah, it was definitely something in the air that was different about this.
Everyone around me is like, Nate, you're doing it. And I'm like, I see it, but at the same time, I'm like, is this real?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's real. Like, there really is 6 sold-out shows in Philadelphia. People really were stopping me in the street in Montreal to be like, yo, can we take a picture?
Yeah.
And I could hear, like, the Haitian accent or French-Haitian accent kind of twisted into that. Like, it's heavy.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I hadn't been able to get into Just for Laughs for ever. Forever.
Sad. Yeah.
If you've seen a live show, I tell the stories about it and there's information about JFL in it. But just know, I don't wanna spoil it for if you come to a show and I decide to do, you know, a material. But for years I haven't been able to get into Montreal. And so this year was a blessing because I showcased for New Faces and didn't get chosen.
Yeah, which is crazy.
This year. And I believe some of the feedback was like, well, he's not a new face anymore.
Hmm.
And I'm like, well, they don't know me up there.
Yeah.
You know?
You seem like a perfect new face for that.
Right. Like, if you know me, you know me. If you don't, you don't. And right now, way more people don't than do.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's what makes you feel new, right? Like, that's just the thing. You know, everybody could be wearing Air Force Ones and you go get a pair and it's new to you.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. And so... it was very interesting because I ended up booking it through a new show they're doing called Surrounded, for Meta.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an awesome platform in which it's a crowd work comedy show and the stage is in the middle of the room.
Yep.
And that's hence the name Surrounded because it's in the round.
And it's only like 3 rows of seats. So it's super intimate. It's not a huge crowd. I mean, how many people you think were in that room?
I mean, it was like 120 people.
Yeah.
Okay. But it was a live taping for one, Just for Laughs Television Canada, and then two, the Meta Universe. I think they call it Meta Horizon.
Hmm.
So when you put on the headset, which they let us do, they let us see it before.
Yeah.
You put on the headset and you're legit in the third row and you're looking at your neighbors around you and like what they're sipping their alcohol while they wait, and then the host comes out and then you're like you're really there.
Yeah, you see the purses underneath the chairs.
You can't tell your brain you're not physically at that.
Yeah.
Okay? Cuz the sound is there, you're looking at the person, you're 3 feet away. Everything is real.
Right. Yeah, it's in your face.
Yeah. And I tried to like walk across and look back behind me and damn near walked into Rosebud Baker, who was standing in front of me in real life. I was like, oh, shoot. She was like, you know, they're like, can you sit down when you use it? It's too real in there. Like, it's not augmented reality. It, you're in it.
That's wild.
And it's not emojis and, you know, how caricatures and all. No, this is, you're in the video. Okay.
Yeah, you're sitting there.
And you have the perfect point of view. And so I went on that show and I acted a damn fool. Like I did, if you know me, then know that I did what I do.
Yeah.
Okay. And there's people that knew I was going to do that. And they were like, this is about to get crazy. And then there was other people who were like, who's this kid Nate Jackson? Because the lineup, everybody on the lineup was already established names.
Sure.
So then when people are talking about who stood out and they hear a new name, that's what new faces would have been. But then you hear somebody stand out, yeah. They're like, wait, who's Nate Jackson? One of these isn't like the other. So who did the best, in my opinion? I saw Felipe Esparza's set. I thought he stood out during his set. I thought Fortune Feimster did a great job. Mm. And so if anybody's recounting it and they're like, well, who's killing over at Surrounded, which was a bigger stage than I thought.
Right.
And I don't mean like size of it. I mean like its importance to the festival.
Yeah.
Like they, like every major act was essentially there to
at
record
some
that.
Yeah.
And they may have also recorded like Russell Peters Gala, sure. Which was also a TV production as well.
Right.
So when people are recounting it and they say the names that they know already, and then my name comes in, they're like, wait, who's that?
Yep.
And then I don't know who leaked it or what little bird, but somebody started to discuss my sales for the year. And I started letting people know as well, like, look, here's my ticket counts for the year. Mm-hmm. And it's been a whirlwind. Thank you, TikTok.
Yeah.
So
it's crazy how fast it's happened too, right? Like to have gone from 7 months ago giving away tickets and having people come out and see us to now.
Well, that wasn't 7 months ago. I mean, 2023's been sold out. So it would have been the last time I was like just trying to like paper a room for myself was like November of last year.
Yeah, so not
the difference is it doesn't sell out until when I'm there.
Sure.
Or there's still tickets available while I'm in town, and we're just talking about four shows or five shows, whatever the baseline is.
Yeah.
Right? Now it's six shows sold out in Philadelphia. We had to move the Thursday, and now there's a show at 3:30 here in 2 hours. Like random times are sold out.
Yeah.
People are online talking, I can't get a ticket. Like that's the change.
Yeah.
10 sold out shows in Austin, Texas, and it's not until November or October 20-something.
Yeah.
Eight in Ontario. And so it's not like, oh, well, what city is he hot in?
Yeah.
It's like, listen, something's happening all over the place.
Yeah, and people are just starting to wake up to that. That was the interesting thing in Montreal is just seeing people. When you'd see the sales numbers, people just like, wow, this is, how are we not aware of this right now? Like, there's movement happening.
One, how are we not aware of it? And then two, we came here because we're supposed to be aware.
Yeah.
And we have an open checkbook and green light from the top of our company to work with the people who are doing this.
Yeah.
How do we not know this? You know what I mean?
It's wild, man.
And in a festival, there's comics standing all over the place, so you don't know who's who. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Donnell Rollins walks up, and you're like, oh, shit, Donnell.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's now the transition where I walk up, people are like, oh, shit, Nate Jackson.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, my God.
Getting stopped in the street, even this morning, getting our car out of the hotel, it's like.
Yeah, I'm sorry to bother you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's a new thing.
But Surrounded, right? Surrounded was perfect for me because while I've been doing comedy 18 years and I got all kinds of jokes and I got tons of material, probably 3 hours of material if I strung it all together. It was the platform of being able to just spin around in a full circle.
Yeah.
And there was content sitting all over the place. And I feel like the audience knew that's what it was because some people were like they just looked like they needed to be talked about. Like there was a guy that looked like a motorcycle club hitman. Okay, that's how he was dressed.
Right.
But he had on the glasses with the grandma tassel with the rope that goes around your neck up to the so it's like, what?
Yeah, what's going on with you, man?
What level of sophistication is this? Like, I will murder you and read an encyclopedia. So it was very confusing, but you know, it made for good material when I spun around and was talking about people. And I feel like a lot of the comics that were on the show can do crowd work, or they are clever and they're funny enough to have great sets, which they did. But there's only a few people who have legitimately been working that muscle for a year now.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And mine is due to circumstance because it's like I opened a comedy club and I'm hosting. I'm doing 12 sets a weekend, literally before the headliner or before the host, or I'm the host, so before the opener, after the opener, after the feature. And then that's three sets, and there's another four shows.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so I could go up and do material and try to get one joke off there or one joke off here, or I can like really brand the show and just make it about the audience so they felt like this show was different and special to them. And that's what I chose to do.
Sure.
I didn't know that was also going to create a wave where audiences everywhere are like, yo, I want to sit in the front row.
Yep.
So Surrounded was an awesome concept. Shout out to Mike Falzone who created it and has been able to protect it so far, where it's not just been take in, and somebody else is like, the crowd work show. You know what I mean? Like, he's protecting it, he sold it, and he's making money off of it. That's so wonderful. Whether it's a joke or a concept, I love when comics have an idea that creates a livelihood.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell me about your first experience with the national food of Canada, the poutine. What'd you think of that? Because I talk it up. I like it.
Well, first, what do you like about it?
I don't know. I like how it's just a lot. It's a bomb, man. It's
like a flavor bomb?
Yeah, and it just sits with you along. Like, you're like, if I eat poutine in the morning, I don't have to eat again until tomorrow. Like, it's fries and gravy and cheese. And
no,
so,
no. No,
yes, it
hold
is.
On. In theory, yes, it's fries, gravy.
You can get fancy with it.
Yeah, but no, that cheese wasn't regular cheese. Like, what was that? Hand rolled balls of cheese?
Like, yeah, it was like cheese curds. That's what they use.
It looked like cheese turds. Okay,
that's fair.
Like, let's be honest. It looked like rabbit doo doo, and it was pure white. And I don't know if it was a mozzarella, a provolone, or a both alone. I don't know.
I don't know what it was.
But you would get it, and it, like, Heath had his a part of his meal, and I was like, "Can I have mine on the side in case I ain't rocking with it?"
Yeah.
So then I saw it in its glory, looking like giant dipping dots. And then I put it on there, and only like half of them melt, and the other ones are still like little pockets of white. Yeah, I was like, man, this is a lot.
I feel like that's the first time we've really separated on food different. Because, like, we had the coffee in Chandler, Arizona, and I was like, this is the best we've ever had. And you were like,
well, no, you said it was the best you ever had. I said this was the best different shit I've had. Okay. Because what was
like
that? That was a.
It's like an orange chocolate.
It had a flower in it, too, or something.
Yeah, something wild.
Yeah, it was, the coffee wasn't just, you know, you go to Starbucks, you're used to, like, vanilla, caramel. They keep it in the pocket there. You know, you might go vanilla bean, you might get a chai. And that's if you're wildin'.
No,
this
was
place had, like, orchid leaf.
Yeah.
Like, and it was good.
Yeah, that happened the other day in one of our meetings, a flower in the ice. But I was shocked because I thought you were going to love poutine. And it didn't seem like.
Nah, the gravy didn't belong.
Okay.
Cheese.
Well, they're getting fancier with it. It's like a baked potato.
Cheese fries with meat on them. That sounds bomb. But the gravy just didn't. It just shouldn't have been there. But in theory, someone could justify that it should be there, right? Because you would put that on mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
So imagine mashed potatoes with meat and cheese on it, and that really isn't that bad.
Yeah,
but I could not wrap my mind around that. It tasted like half KFC, half Burger King in the same bite.
You know what? I feel like, though, when I think of it, I think of like an old person that is like wearing flannel up in the snowy, like they've been beaver trapping all day.
Okay,
and they walk into their little like cottage with their fireplace, and they want a hearty meal after being frozen.
Yes, and I'll take it from there. And the lady has been in the house waiting for the beavers to come in that have been trapped, right?
Yeah.
And she's like, did you catch anything? And he's like, no. She's like, okay, well, we don't have beaver. All we have what's left is some smoked meat. I don't even know what it is. It could be horse. It could be beef. It could be pig. It could be all those that we mashed up and then chopped up, so you don't know what it is. So we have a mystery meat that we smoked, then steamed, then so it's just reddish.
Yeah,
we don't know what it is. Babe, I don't know what else we have. We have three potatoes. And I have some leftover gravy. I have some cheese that I didn't really take care of right, so it balled up. It looks a little like it curded.
Maybe it started as curdled milk.
Hey, man, put all that shit in one bowl, baby. I am so cold and hungry and starving.
That's fair. I like it. If you haven't tried poutine.
You like it. Scale from 1 to 10.
I mean, it's not my desert island food, but I would every time
what do you mean a desert island food?
Like, it's not one of, like, if you have to live on a desert island with five foods the rest of your life, would it be one of them? No.
You're
but
not.
Every time I'm in Canada, I'm like, I'm going to get poutine while I'm here.
Okay, but what are the five foods?
Oh, man. That's tough. I know for sure.
Is it easier to give me three?
I can give you one.
Okay, what's one?
Like a really good carne asada burrito from my hometown of San Diego. Like a good Mexican steak.
That's there. That's one of the choices.
Oh, yeah. That every time.
All right. I'll put Dirty Dave's Gay 90s Pizza on there.
Oh, I've never even heard of that.
Well, that's something we'll have to experience. This is an absolute gem. There's nowhere like it on earth as far as I know. And it's in Lacey, Washington. And they give you pepperoni. First of all, it's on a thin crust. It's pepperoni, sausage, cheese, onions, and cashews.
Oh, wow. I did not see that coming.
It's amazing. Okay.
Hey, you just mentioned horse. We have to talk about, remember when we were offered horse tartare?
Yeah, but was that horseradish or actual horse?
No, because I said, is that like horseradish? Because I thought, you know, we're in Montreal, it's French. I was like, maybe we're losing something in translation. And they're right. Like, no, it's thin slices of raw horse.
Nah, man, they're not eating horses up there.
You think they were messing with us?
They had to be.
It was weird. I didn't know what was going on.
They were messing with us the whole time. Our server sounded heavy French and also...
Oh, yeah, I forgot. She switched
like, she was
accents.
From Philly. Like, in the same sense, parlez du français, motherfucking nigga, what's happening? Like, I was like, oh, my God. Yeah, and she was a white girl. No,
yeah, you're like, what just happened to your voice?
You can't
like,
say nigga. It was nuts.
What'd you think about the smoked meat? Like, because we were going for corned beef and pastrami. We were in
man, listen. I wanted this to just be about Montreal, but I got to open it up some.
Okay.
The corned beef in Detroit is phenomenal.
Everywhere?
There, I don't know about everywhere.
Okay.
But I think they get it right. Like, whatever that stuff is pickled in or yeah. done, the process, like, there's like a place there that I went to, and I don't know the name, and that's the part that sucks. But I imagine if you hear this and you were curious, you could Google it. I was not into corned beef before I had it.
Okay, I'm a huge corned beef.
No, I would have corned beef hash and be like, come on, you know. Oh. But this was something else. This place had, it was semi-truck bays, and the trucks were backed up to it. Like, there's two or three trucks there and, like, three or four open bays. And that's what they were doing was they're packing these trucks with the corned beef, and it's going all over the world, the Midwest or wherever.
Damn.
And then on the side is this tiny little deli where there was, like, maybe 10 tables.
Okay.
And they're serving it right there. And I had a fresh corned beef hash sandwich. I bit it once, one bite, and I was like, I need another one. Because this is the thing. I ordered it, and they're like, for here to go. And I'm like, to go.
Yeah.
Right? I'm thinking I'm going to take it with me on my flight. It's my last thing from getting on the plane.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm gonna just bite it just one time. Just like, get the juices going. You know, I bit it, and I was like, oh, God. Oh my God, make another one immediately before I start smacking motherfuckers. Like, it was so good that as a foodie, like, if you taste something and the next 5 minutes it's gone,
yeah,
like, that's a great sign.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? And I just smashed this. And so I wish I could remember the name of it, but
well, maybe
I would
somebody's
imagine,
listening
yeah, please.
From Detroit that goes, I know that spot with the backup.
Man, put it in a comment or something because, you know, even though this is episode one, we're in this thing. We're veterans. So I'll get the comments and I'll talk about it and share where the corned beef was from episode two.
Love that.
And if you guys don't send it to me, I'll Google it and try to find it. But you're at risk of me saying the wrong place. So if you know where I'm talking about,
yeah,
you should say something. And if you know where I'm talking about, and you're like, other people are going to let them know. No, they're not. It's
yeah.
you.
Yeah, it's your
it's
responsibility.
On you.
Yeah.
You are the one represent for the D-Town and let me know what it is. But the corned beef hash. So I go into Montreal and they're like, talking shit about it in a good way, you know, where they're like, you know, there's nothing that compares to this. There's not a pastrami, not a corned beef that compares to our smoked meat.
Yep.
So, I mean, it wasn't fair. They set themselves up for failure.
Yeah.
For me, my taste buds were like, all right, we coming in. And if you don't rub a 10 across us,
yeah, you're thinking
we're
Detroit.
Unimpressed. Yeah.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So I bit into it. I was like, man,
yeah,
it's good.
It's
you know, it's thick, it's filling, it was a good consistency, and you could pick how fatty it was on a, they let you.
Yeah.
Like, medium was kind of the thing. And so I picked, but it was almost like it was missing whatever ingredient turns it into pastrami or corned beef.
When I feel like I feel like even the phrase smoked meat isn't accurate, because it doesn't taste like I was thinking like brisket and something like that, but it.
Yeah, no, they said they steam it.
Yeah, so it's like it's got that corned beef consistency, but it's just got a different flavor.
So it's just a bunch of meat sitting in a hot water room.
They slice it up and throw it on
a sandwich.
Slice it up.
They might put a little bit of salt and pepper on it. Congratulations.
It's good. I'd eat it again, but I need to get to Detroit with you.
Yeah, I need it again, but it needed to come with you needed to add, like, and that was the thing. Like, yes, it was delicious, but you needed to add. You needed mustard.
Yeah,
you needed salt, pepper. You needed like it needed
the things,
malt vinegar. Or you needed something like corned beef. You could just pinch some and just right into your mouth. My God! And shout out to Howie Bell. Shout out to comedian Howie Bell from Detroit that was like, nah, you ain't never had corned beef? And I was like, hell no. Is that black people food? He was like, what? Like, he was so mad at me. I'm making you a corned beef. Like, he made one.
Wow.
And it was fantastic. That was paired with cabbage. That was paired with other stuff. There was gravy coming off some other stuff. It was fantastic. And I was like, who made this?
Yeah.
Like, whoever made this, owes me, like, we need to fight. Because you've been able to do it and you hadn't done it until now.
Sure.
Like, you denied me this joy as long as I've known you. You had this in you to cook.
Yeah, you had the secret.
You
yeah.
motherfucker. Yeah. So that'd be my second food on a desert island. That's okay. for sure. And yeah, the smoked meat in Canada, they're going to be mad at me. While it is delicious, while it is all you know, there's a badder boy in town.
Just south, yeah.
Just a little bit south.
Okay, so also before we totally leave Montreal, we had some weird experiences at JFL, like outside. I mean, there was the lady upstairs and then
there was
police
a whole,
activity. So
there
we got
was
two
a
things.
Whole crackhead in the party.
Yeah.
Like in the, you know, you, but maybe not.
Yeah.
You had to show your lanyard to get into that.
Yeah.
So maybe she was like legit a comic or really in the festival or friend of comic or yeah. a friend of artists or media. But once she was in there.
Yeah.
I think maybe she was just high as a motherfucker.
Oh, she was. Okay. Did you see how they had her leave?
No.
No, they had two security
guards. Well, I
know
guards, they came in and found her, but.
One on each arm. And they lifted her up and walked her out.
They carried her out.
Yeah. So.
And set her down outside. And then she walked right up to Donnell Rollins and was staring in his face.
Yeah. So she walked. Okay. Yeah. So, okay. So the setting first is we're in this kind of VIP party.
Industry mixer / there's music playing.
And you've got, I mean, everybody who's anybody.
Marlon Wayans is right there.
Burt Kreischer. You've got all these guys in the room.
The number two at Live Nation.
Yeah. And this lady walks in and she's wearing this jacket. And she, the first I noticed her, she came right up
well,
to
she's
me.
She's of Asian descent.
Yep.
With a buzz cut.
Yep.
Her hair is maybe half an inch long around her whole head.
Yep.
And she got a perfectly round head and yeah. fierce eyes.
Fiercest. I mean, she sucked the soul out of my eyes when she stared at that vision will haunt me forever.
She was like a dementor of Harry Potter.
Yeah.
That might be a stretch, but she was, she came up to me and I was like, hello.
She was staring.
I was
down.
Like, you having a good time? And she was like, I'm trying to get my life back.
Yeah.
That's what she said. And I was like, you trying to what? She's like, get my life back. And I was like, oh, okay. And then she just walked off like, bobbing yeah. her shoulders and went to the next person. Yep. The next person she was in the face of, like staring
for like 30 seconds, not like a quick,
it's a
stare.
Hard stare, like to where people are like, "Are you good? Like, what is this?"
Yeah, and I was saying,
"What's the number two at Live Nation?"
Yeah, I was saying, like,
he's like, "I thought she's gonna cut me. I knew I was gonna be cut."
Well, and I like, if it wasn't a bunch of comedians in the room, I'd be immediately like, "This lady's crazy, get her out." But I thought, like, maybe this is just an act. Like, I thought it was what, you know, like Tom Green level comedy of just irritating and just being that awkward one that just makes the situation tense.
Yeah.
And then security took her. And then I was
like
outside.
Performance art.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to get in here. My thing is to make everyone uncomfortable.
Yeah, like Sacha Baron Cohen sort of stuff.
There's a girl, there's a young white girl I see podcasting with like famous rappers and other like black act. And like the whole spiel is that like she's so awkward. She's never heard of them. She's unprepared. And she's just dry.
Yeah.
Right. Like that's like Drake's done an interview with her and it went crazy. Lil Yachty did an interview with her that went crazy.
Oh, wow.
And there was one more. That I've seen. I mean, she's going crazy right now. Like, her stuff has exploded because she's just like, she's like, could you, like, am I your type? Funny Marco was the first one I saw. And he's like, nah, my type is like a baby mama, like, guns going off, like, where you been at? Da, 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 da. You know, she's just sitting there like, what? Yeah. And he's like, but I hit, though. And she's like, hit? I don't know what the hit means. Like, it's just flat. Just
all the time.
It
kind
of reminds me of Between Two Ferns.
Okay.
And but the, like
that's the vibe that I got from her was like, oh, she's just messing with people because yeah. how else would she be here and how has she not been kicked out yet?
Yes.
So then she gets escorted outside and an Uber's there with it's a van and there's people getting in it and she walks into like she puts her left leg into the Uber like she's getting in with them and they push her out and there's a whole situation for probably 3 minutes where the guy gets out that was supposed to be in the Uber and walks down the street and the Uber flips around and he flings open the door and jumps in trying to throw her off the trail. And
oh, then, wow.
Yeah, she was trying to steal Ubers and then she went right over to Donnell and she stared right into, she like squatted down because he was sitting and so she squatted
yeah.
and
this
stared.
Is, and that's when I walked out. When I walked out, she was 6 inches face to face from Donnell.
For like 40 seconds.
And Donnell, had like, he was like smoking a cigarette and looking down and then like looking up. And he was fine with it, I guess. And I walked up like, Donnell, you good? He was like, I'm good, son. I'm like, fam, you're used to that kind of shit?
Yeah, that's next level, man.
That was too, yeah, I might have put like four fingers on her forehead and just like gently pushed her back. Like, ma'am, what the fuck? And that's what made me think she's high as shit. Or that she may have been a comic that just like had too much or did something different, like a hallucinogen or something.
Yeah.
Because
it was a weird vibe.
Even though Donnell didn't engage with her like that, it seemed like he knew her maybe.
Yeah, it was like not
because he just let it happen. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, usually I would think it'd be like, get the heck out of my face.
Yeah, get out of here, crazy lady. It was more like, come on, Sue, man, now. You know what I mean?
Not tonight.
Right. Fuck, you came up here and got that high. You know what I mean? Seriously.
And then there was a shooting. You got to talk about that.
Oh, my God. Was the nurse shooting? Were you there?
No, I had left, I think, just a few minutes earlier.
It's me and Zach. So my manager, Zach from Three Arts, is a thin to medium build white man. I would lean towards thin.
Yeah, thin.
Yeah, he's about 6'2", maybe, and we're standing outside. He's got brown hair, kind of guy that'll, you know, you can run a comb through it for the design of the hair. And we're sitting there. He's wearing a khaki pants and a black V-neck. I'm wearing, you know, whatever I wear, some J's and a sports team or something.
Those same torn jeans.
Yeah, one of my 7 pair, 12. Well, actually, it's probably 12 now. Motherfuckers. I own more than one pair of jeans, bitch. I'm grown. So, anyway, we're sitting there talking, and then I have to paint the picture perfectly.
Yeah.
My best. So, we're outside the Doubletree in Montreal. And so, outside of the front of the hotel are these like concrete wood seats that you can sit on. It's for people to smoke and just have a seat on. To the left, maybe half a block up, is the main strip of the festival. And when I say main strip, I mean it's a street that they've closed.
Right.
And they have all these little vendors along both sides and lights on these big poles shining over it. So, like, this street is well lit during the hours that it's open. Well, they had dimmed all the lights and it was over, so the vendors had zipped up their tents, and so it was like a naked street.
Yep.
But where from my vantage point was, I was looking up the street, so I can only see straight up the street I was on, which was crossing the main thing. So out of my view to the left of the street, right? Like, just imagine a T. To the left of the T, right? I'm at the bottom of the T. I look up the street to the dead end. To the left, there's somebody yelling. I can't see him. It's in French. It's heavy French. They're like, move my snitch last move. That's my last fashka fashlish. Boss last voo 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 shit ave. Like, whatever, right? And then shots go off. Pop, pop. Pop, pop, pop. Pop, 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 pop. Right? So pop, pop. Pop, 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 pop. Pop, 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 pop. 10. That's a full clip.
Yeah, yeah.
There's 10 in a clip.
Damn.
He lets it go, or the whole thing, right? And whoever's shooting, that's not the most accurate way to shoot. Pop, 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 pop. It's not like you, when did you get to aim again? Right? Like, yes, in the States, the cops shoot a lot, but it'd be like 5 of them, and they're all shooting maybe 3 times. Like, pop, pop, pop.
Yeah.
So then you hear a lot of shots.
But this is an open street. Like, this is, I mean, it's a...
There's still people coming up the street.
Yeah, right.
They're all coming back to their hotels. They're walking.
Reckless.
Yeah, it was reckless as fuck. Like, an American officer would not have shot down that just because they're not. It's not only the target; it's everything behind it that you can hit.
Yeah, yeah.
And pop, 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 pop. It's not like there's vendors with bullet holes in it and shit. You know. So then I see two cops full regalia running into view from the left.
Yep.
And they're like, right?
Sure.
Immediately, cop cars are lights on, coming up to the dead end where we are.
Yeah, yeah.
They come up. They do a U-turn. Everything's in French. You hear walkie-talkies. Or whatever. I don't know the words. Right? Then I go up, and I'm like, yo. Now, I figure they just shot from this place at somebody else. So this is probably the coolest place to be real quick.
Yeah, right.
Plus, this guy ain't got no more bullets. So I'm like, what happened? And I'm looking. And as I look down the street, at the end of the street that they have closed off, it is open for other traffic to go back and forth.
Okay.
And zigzagging on 1, 2, and 3 streets deep is cops going back and forth trying to find who they were shooting at. They missed.
Oh, man.
I'm like, who did you shoot at? I was full on expecting to see somebody shot.
Yeah, yeah, right.
There was nothing on the street or nobody visible. And the guy's like, he was at this tall, a white male. I was like, oh, shit. He's a white male? what a relief, right? Like, yeah, right. Where I'm from, I always fit the description.
Yeah, yeah, right.
If the cops are shooting at somebody, even if you ain't who they were shooting at, it's time to get skinny, get little, go to the room, get in the car, go to the hotel, get the hell out of the street before you are mistaken for the perpetrator.
Yeah.
They told me they were looking for a short white man. I was like, we need to look. Let's find him. The community needs help. Like, I felt so motivated.
Right.
Man, they were looking under awnings and under the staging that was only half a block from where they were. Like, those cars were way down the street zigzagging. They were looking 40 feet away under stuff to see if he had maybe dove under something. They had no clue where this guy ran to.
And it makes you wonder, like, what did he do at 3:30 in the morning to get 10 gunshots just recklessly popped on him? Like, did he steal from McDonald's, or was this guy, like, rob a bank? Like, it felt like...
I don't know what would be the thing. Yeah, maybe he was stealing from a vendor and they tried to catch him, or stolen from a clothes vendor, or... I can't imagine it was something like... sexual indecency or something to be like shooting at him.
No.
But then again, I also don't know if that cop just has been doing target practice for 20 years and finally
the
Americans are here. We must shoot like they are used to shooting. So I have no idea. But it was crazy because then I went back to Zach and I'm like, yo, they're looking for a white guy. You should probably get to your room. He's like, what? They're looking for a white guy. I'm like, yeah. So you should put your glasses on and probably skip home because they're not looking for no happy ass skipping person. So get home.
Get
he actually
here.
Told me the next morning, he was like, yeah. So when I was walking to the room, like, they actually slowed and looked at me a little bit. He was like, it's not me.
Oh, man.
And then
he
went
the
into
eye.
His room. I was like, welcome to it, motherfucker. Welcome to being
welcome
the
to
one that
world.
Looks like the perpetrator. Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, a shooting in quiet Montreal during JFL at night.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I'm allowed to even be talking about it, but it happened.
We got to talk about
it. I'm not the shooter or the person who's, or the shootee. I'm just letting you know that while I was out there and I still felt completely safe.
Sure.
As ridiculous as that is. Yeah. But as Americans, we're inundated with shit like that. So I did not feel in danger. Plus, it was like maybe 120 feet away.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So it was far.
Yeah.
And they were shooting from around the corner. So even the sound didn't sound close as it was.
Yeah.
There was no buildings right there. I'd be like, yo, they're shooting right there.
Right.
But the buildings were throwing the sound. And it sounded very far. But it was definitely maybe a 22. Some small gun.
The thing I've never thought about, though, is what it would be like to be in a, like, to experience an emergency where all the people in charge don't even speak your language. That would, like, was that weird? Like, did.
Yes.
Yeah. Because you're like, something's happening, but I don't know what the hell's happening.
Right. And so the other, there was a few other people outside, and one of them was one of the event staff. This cool young lady, she was Haitian,
okay.
So she, which means she speaks French.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, what did he say? What did he say when he was yelling? She was like, don't move, don't move. If you move, it's going to be a problem. Don't move.
Oh, okay.
And so that's whatever he was yelling in French.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, that'd be weird.
Yeah, I wouldn't even know what to do if he was pointing a gun at me yelling that shit.
I'd be like,
I'd start
pop
like, I'm like, okay, you want a dance battle, nigga? Is this a freestyle, bitch? Boo boo shay ba la. Boo boo shay boo boo, nigga. What's up? I don't know what you
dance
say.
Dance harder. Dance harder.
Right. So it was a little nutty. And, people just didn't believe it. And I apparently, like, and there was, like, OGs of Montreal, of JFL, and they're like, nah.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that they had guns.
Yeah, I didn't know
so
that
that's
either.
First.
Yeah.
But apparently the police do, and then, like, the civilians aren't allowed to have guns. And then, like, they literally came down the street and, like, tried to find, like, the casings, and
dang.
And they roped it off and all that, and they never found the person.
That's wild.
Yeah. And I heard a couple people with a theory. They thought it was... the crazy guy that plays all the music butt naked.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they were like, it's probably Mark.
It's just Mark, and it's Mark on a Saturday night.
Grounded on nothing. He's just running down the street. Life! Fuck you, fuck life. Oh, life, life, life. Oh, it's a song by me. Oh, life, life, life. I can't remember his last name, but that guy's awesome, man. He blew up during the pandemic, and he was performing live at JFL.
Yeah, Mark Ribier.
Yeah. And so, yeah, and dude literally is just wearing boxers and cowboy boots. That's it. Just legs out, top out. Crowd surfing, making up the songs right there live, pouring wine into his mouth, jumping into the crowd surfing and spraying it like he just won a championship.
That was one of my favorite moments, was watching him, because the crowd, I mean, there was events all night and through the week, but his crowd was deep. I mean, how many people you think there were to see him? 20,000? 15,000? Something.
Is that what 20,000 looks like?
I think
it was more than I was willing
like
to count. Yeah, that had to be maybe 30,000 people standing around.
Yeah, we were way back
watching.
We
were in the very far back.
And then we saw.
But they had these dope screens where, like, he was right in front of us.
Yeah, it didn't feel like he was too
but
far.
But looking up at him, he was the size of my thumbnail. Yeah. That's how far away he was.
Yeah.
Just for the listener that's like, well, how far away? He was thumbnail size in real life. But next to us was a screen where he was, like, right five there. Times bigger than us. You know what I mean?
That was one of my favorite moments. So Mark, you know, if you haven't seen Mark Ribillet, it's like R-E-B-I-L-L-E-T. You should look him up.
It's like
and
Riblet.
It's M-A-R-C. Yeah. It's like Riblet.
Yeah.
Which is funny because I was saying all week, like, oh, I want to see Mark. I want to see Mark. And both you and Keela were like, I don't know who that guy is. And then you saw his face. You're like, I'm going to go check this out because I know who it is.
Yeah. I'm out there freestyle rapping because he's literally making up, like, he got, so as an artist, it's a blessing to be, you know, get the nod from the veterans, the OGs in your shit. And during the pandemic, like, Erik Badu was like, yo, this dude is pure creation, pure soul, and pure dopeness.
Yeah.
And it just, like, it just popped. Shot his attention up. You know what I mean? He said that. Excuse me, I burped. Toby Enigwe from Texas, from Dallas. I want to say Dallas, it might be Houston. I should know that. I'm going with Houston. Fuck it. Toby Enigwe popped during the pandemic doing music videos in his house where everybody's wearing like the lime green and the not lime but like mint green doing the choreographed stuff. It, like, and Toby got the nod from Dave Chappelle. He dropped the whole song about it, about Dave Chappelle and Erik Badu saying that he's dope.
Wow.
He's like, Miss Badu told me I'm dope. Oh, yeah, I'm dope. Dave Chappelle told me I'm dope. And then he comes on spinning bars. And that's a platinum song.
Yeah.
And so Mark just really jumped out. I like him, man.
Yeah, he's fun.
He's just literally like keeping his hair out of his face because he's sweating and giving it all and swinging his hair and saying whatever lyrics come to mind. Like, when you walk through your life, you better walk your life. Life is hard. Keep your head up. Like, there's always like, there's a message, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, like there was a, in the middle of a set, to our surprise, to the crowd's surprise, Bert Kreischer walks out and shotguns a beer and rips his shirt off. And then the two of them are rubbing bellies.
For at least 2 minutes.
Yeah, and he's like, rubbing bellies and it feels so good.
Yeah.
Like
rubbing bellies if your belly feels good. That's your navel. Yeah. And my navel. Rubbing bellies and it feels so good. Which and I don't know if I'm presenting this well right now, but just know that while that's happening, the beat that's playing was made from scratch with the beat machine. So, like, he starts off by letting the audience pick the bass line.
Which is so cool. He's like, what sounds better, this
or
this?
Yeah, y'all like, doom, 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 doom. Or do you guys like, doom, 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 boom, 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 boom. And they're like, yeah.
He's like, we'll go with that one.
And then he does it, doom, 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 doom. And then he lets go, and then it continues to loop.
Yeah.
And then he's adding the next thing, like,
it's so cool. Yeah.
Then a hi-hat. And you hear him trying. So he's trying different y'all like that one? I like that one too.
And he just lets it play. And he just makes stuff up.
Your navel and my navel. Like, and it's just pure creation, man. Raw talent.
He has a bottle of champagne and he's running down the stairs and he crowd surfs in his underwear and he's in his cowboy boots and he's spraying champagne. Like,
he's like a music monster, bro. Like, literally, he's like if Animal from the Muppets was a person. Like, that's what's going on with him. And so it was made for a hell of a show. And the Canadians loved it because it was just literally that raw, that different. You know, they didn't know whether to cheer, dance, yell at him.
Everyone was having a good time, though.
Like, he was crowd surfing.
Yeah. And that music's mesmerizing.
Yeah, it was dope, man. So.
And then we found some kale growing in the middle.
That's
going to the
true. Yeah, we were parked at a light, you know, at a red light. And I looked to the left and I see vegetation in the median. Like, you know, when you're in a city street and there's, you know, they have a median in the middle separating oncoming traffic.
Yeah.
And in Montreal, that was a flower bed.
Yeah.
That was raised in a concrete barrier. So there was an entire, there was maybe a 5-block strip of flower bed that was maybe 3 to 4 feet wide.
Yeah.
And the concrete that it was sitting in was maybe 5 feet tall. And so I look over and see a 3-foot-tall kale plant. Yeah. Like an edible plant, like a vegetable. And I'm like, yo, why aren't we doing this in the States? We could feed all of the homeless with like gardens in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
Why is there no reason why there's not pumpkins and squash and blackberries and raspberries and strawberries? All these like invasive vegetables and fruits that grow on their own.
Yeah.
Like they don't need nothing but just a seed. Plant that corn stalks.
Well, and then I wish I knew that at the beginning because we kept getting, I mean, for some reason, there were so many people asking for money there. Like it was, I hadn't seen that level of people asking for cash in a long time, like every 5 feet.
Yes, nor have I seen somebody actively shooting up heroin.
Yeah, that's right. Outside that.
I hadn't seen that. Yeah. So the way that my schedule lined up was I did Surrounded, and which was I was on at 10 p.m. on Tuesday.
Okay.
I think it was Tuesday. Yeah, Tuesday. 10 p.m. on Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday, that's right.
And then at 11:59 the same night, I had another set called Midnight Surprise where everybody's just going and they don't know who might pop in.
Right.
And the following night, I was with the Lucas Brothers at the same venue at like 8:30. So when we were walking from Surrounded at, say, I don't know, maybe 12:05, 12:07, it's midnight, you know?
It's midnight.
There's like homeless people literally standing there speaking French. They know we don't speak French, so they just hold out a cup.
Yeah.
Like inches from your face and wait.
I would have just
and you're like, no, I don't have any money. And I know they understand no.
Yeah.
And they're like, and they still are trying to get you to give it to them. They're trying to do a little dance, you know, and it's all in French. So it's just foreign to you. And you're like, dude, no, I don't have money.
Yeah.
And I don't have pocket money on me to just be. And if I did, I'd go broke out here trying to give everybody a dollar.
Yeah, it'd be so
there was a lot.
There was a lot.
And
so
then
I was like,
we walked by one of those like a storefront that's closed. You know how like they have the insert.
Yep.
And there's a lady sitting on the ground and she's legit with the needle in her vein, in her arm. And there's other people sitting next to her and somebody's like talking to her. Like she's, yeah, she's focused on that and they're having a conversation. I was like, yo, I seen needles in inner cities. I seen proof that there has been drug use or like, you know, you see like open condom packets or you know, like,
but not actively
not
needle pressing into the
vein. Right. Yeah. Like that's more reclusive in the States, I think.
Yeah.
Like you may, like they may be inside their tent or they may be somewhere, but they don't want you looking right at them do their drug.
Yeah.
This lady gave no fucks.
No, she was like, let's go.
Have a good show.
Yeah. I wish I would have seen the kale stalks earlier. I would have shivved a bunch of stalks and thrown those in people's cups, man. Can't pay you, but I got some healthy greens for you to get. I got you the base of a salad.
Exactly. And so then you just have like the dispensers for like, say how we do our hand sanitizer, where you might see a dispenser. Like they should have just like a stand out there and it just squirts ranch and balsamic vinaigrette. And then there's there's a tray.
Yeah.
There's a little stack of tray. You just pull a tray off and you walk down and you pull some lettuce, you pull something else. Maybe there's a little water. You wash your leaves off. No reason why we can't have fresh salad in intersections.
There it is. That's a business plan.
That's hunger. That's everything.
That's how we should do it. Yeah.
Seriously.
Because kale is crazy. Like kale doesn't just, it's not hard to grow. It grows like crazy. It takes off. It keeps duplicating.
And when it flowers, it's broccoli or cauliflower. That is all the same plant.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes. That's all the same plant.
Yeah. Why don't we just put those in our intersections, man?
That's what I'm saying. Let's and they it. Had it down. And I don't know if that was their plan or if like some farmer was like, I will try to put the kale seed in here. But why can't you just put in, you know, I watch these videos on TikTok with these people who are raising gardens and farming like on the sides of their houses. And they're like, dude, just poke a hole with your finger, half an inch down, put the seed in,
cover
that. The rain will do the rest. The sun will do the rest.
You don't have to do a thing.
In 4 weeks, you have blueberries, raspberries, strawberries, yellow squash, green squash, pumpkins, corn. You don't have to do anything.
Yeah,
and
it's easy.
Kale is a surviving ass plant.
Yeah, it goes
kale,
hard.
Kale, cabbage, let it like. You don't need bean stalks. I get because you got to like support them with sticks and like it takes a lot of manual maintenance. And outside of that, the rest of the concern for most gardeners is weeding.
Yeah.
Well, if you're going to grow a 3-foot kale plant, we don't care if there's weeds.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Like it doesn't have to be a beautiful garden.
Yeah.
It just needs to be. That is a real food source.
Yeah.
Completely unnecessary to maintain. It doesn't need to be cooled. It doesn't need any energy. Like
it's great for you.
Come on, man. In the inner city, that was a dope concept.
Yeah, that's cool.
And I would like to see that. I'd like to see if there was somewhere I could do something like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Start it. Yeah.
Yeah, I gotta find a median.
A little planter box.
Gotta find a median and just start putting why not?
Seriously, yeah. Take care of people.
I'm doing it when I get home. And I'll post pictures. I just gotta find a median. And then maybe I'll get like one of those plastic planter kind of boxes.
Yeah.
The question is, will people respect it while it's just soil?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, maybe I should put a full-grown something in it, like one full-grown kale plant. Like, there, this will be kale.
Oh, to give a little
a
like
corn,
a,
like this will be
what's
corn.
Coming, yeah.
Yeah. So you know, like you know, don't touch this.
I don't know, man. I don't know
or
if
a
I trust
sign.
People. Next thing you know, it's like 2 a.m. Some dude's taking a piss on the kale plant. Like you know.
I mean, so are deer and rabbits. And
just wash it.
You know what I'm saying? You gotta wash it. That's why I said put some water out there to wash it with. But I mean, it's a win if you can make one summer salad.
Yeah. No joke.
That's like $13.
All right, you've committed to doing it when we get back, so we got to get some pictures for that.
Dead ass, it's happening. I'm, okay. And don't let me not do it.
I'll make you do it.
And not only that, Heath and I are on a diet.
Yeah.
We don't know what it is because Heath has done some radical shit.
Yeah.
Like, what was the last diet?
40, just a 40-day water fast. Just
no, it
water.
Was 41 days. I remember you wanted to beat Jesus.
Yeah. No, I gave up it. I wanted to do, I was going to do 40, and I was like, I'm going to do 41 because I'm going to outdo Jesus. And then I was like, I probably shouldn't do that. So I stopped at 40.
Right. Take it to wherever people go. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then, like, he didn't eat food for so long that he had to get his body back accustomed to something other than water by starting with, like, bone broth.
Bone broth for, like, 2 weeks. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And
which is crazy.
And how much weight did you lose?
About 53 pounds in a month and 10 days. Yeah.
That's but insane.
Yeah, it was I was starting to get weird. I was getting like heart palpitations and my next door neighbor
killed yourself.
Yeah, and my wife's in medical school now, and she's like, "Had I known this stuff 2 years ago,
let you do it."
Yeah, she's like, "There's no chance in hell I would have let you do this."
Wow.
Yeah.
And so we're gonna go on a diet, but it can't be that.
No, because you and I like I'm getting sick of being like two times in Philadelphia. People are like, "Y'all food critics."
Well, and it's
one not, wasn't even at a restaurant.
I don't even think it's because. We were at a restaurant.
One was. The other was at a shoe shop. The guy walking out the door is like, "Y'all food critics?"
Yeah, but he heard us talking about Angelo's.
Okay, that's what it was.
He didn't just see two fat
God,
guys.
That makes me feel so much better.
No, man. He saw. You were literally like, "No, our food's still at Angelo's. We're waiting on it. We're going to go back and pick it up." And that's why I was like, "Oh, you guys food critics?"
Okay. Yeah, I was like, Jesus, I can't keep going.
Okay, but you don't see two. This is an awkward pairing.
Yeah. Ebony
for the
and Ivory.
They can't, yeah. The country's not used to that. People have friends that look like them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And then you are, what, 41?
No, age-wise?
Yeah.
No, I'll be 40 6 weeks after you, October 9th.
Got it. So we're both 39.
Yeah, we're like 6 weeks ahead. You're 6 weeks ahead of me.
Nice. So, but you went all gray and silver for reasons I don't understand.
Four kids.
Four children, did it?
Yeah.
Got it. Well, I got gray hairs coming in, and they're all from a comedy club. So... Here we are, two heavier set guys. One's black, one's white. Off of the sea,
about the
American.
Same height, about the same weight.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like we look like food critics.
Yeah.
We look like we would come in. Hey, Salt and Pepper Critiques is here. We let you know what it is.
That could be a TV show.
We spent the first half of the show talking about poutine and corned beef on the low. Bro, we are food critics. Like, okay, what makes a critic? Do they have to go to a school or accommodation?
I don't know.
Exactly. So you just have to eat and have a platform to tell people fuck with it or don't fuck with it.
Okay, well then, while we're on that topic, there's a little bit of a war between the best cheesesteak here in Philadelphia.
Max's, hands down. We don't even have to talk about it a long time. We went to Max's in the hood, North Philly, and then everybody told us to go to Angelo's, not in the hood, South Philly, and there was no... it was the only thing that Angelo's had, potentially, was that they hollow out their bread some.
Yeah, so it's less bread, more meat.
Yes,
yeah.
And but there was grilled onions in it.
Yeah.
Which we did not have at Max's.
Right.
And then we had I chose to add these sweet peppers that they have there at Max's. And to be honest with you, it was like the caveat that just took it bonkers up over the top. Angelo's, we asked for salt, pepper, ketchup. We didn't get salt, pepper, ketchup.
Yeah.
So maybe it wasn't a fair race. And I'm sure a Philly person would be like, yo, you didn't have salt, pepper, ketchup on Angelo's. And you can't even count that shit. Yeah. Well, tell you right now, man. My first bite of Max's didn't have salt and pepper ketchup on it either, okay? And Angelo's had sesame seeds on their bun, and it was a harder bite through the bun than Max's,
crispy.
Like soft hoagie, fresh flaky.
Yeah.
And now you need to know how to move when you go to Max's in North
Philly.
Yeah,
I was gonna say you don't
like keep your hands in your pockets. You wait in line when it's your turn. You speak when spoken to.
You don't lean on the glass.
Don't lean on no glass. Don't put your arm on it like you at Subway. Don't lean on anything because they can be like, hey, yo, son.
Yeah.
We ain't trying to be responsible for any burns or anything you get. Put your motherfucking hands down.
Yeah.
Before we beat your ass. Like, that's what it feels like. Everything's going to end with. Before we beat your ass.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And yeah. Me standing there with Heath, I couldn't say I ain't from here any louder. Right. Like, we look like a robber's delight.
Seriously.
For real. By myself, I'm cool. I can move like that. And my head's on a swivel. Heath hugged a crackhead in Atlanta.
Like, that's true. Like, he needed a hug.
Legit leaving the club at 2 a.m. and a crackhead approaches. And he's like, and she's like, I'm having a hard time. And he's like, do you need a hug?
Nate's like, don't you do it.
I'm like, don't you touch that goddamn crackhead, bro. She's about to stab you in the neck with a fucking needle. He's like, she just needs a hug, man. Hugging her. Meanwhile, like, the night watch police are like, yo, let her go. Ma'am, get your hanging out ass from down here. And she started telling a story like, it's just been hard. And if I had maybe $5,000 in my life. And Heath was like, I can maybe move some money around for you. Like, Heath, get the fuck. Completely green, man. So we're sitting up in Max's in North Philly. If you know it, then you know it. It's bomb. It's the one that was in Creed. So if you watch the movie Creed, you'll see it. But the food was off the chain. We did sweet pepper, salt pepper, ketchup. And that's how I'd recommend that you have it. They're also going to offer mushrooms. And whilst I like mushrooms, that's not the sandwich that goes on.
Yeah.
I think you should pair it with apple juice. I don't know why that's my preference, but a cold apple juice and this sandwich slaps like a pissed off pimp.
Dude, that apple juice. I know you said it's like gas station apple juice, but it hit me like
that's food number three.
Breast milk of an angel.
I just looked over and you were reading the ingredients. That's how you know something's good. When you're like, what is in this motherfucker? Like, it was like juice of apple. You're like, it got to be something else in this.
Yeah, something else is in there.
Something else is in it. No, yeah, it was just good. Apple juice.
And it was ice cold on a hot day. Like, just
ice cold, hot day. Mouthful of Max's Philly cheesesteak sandwich. Salt, pepper, ketchup. Salt pepper, sweet pepper.
We got to Uber Eats that tonight before we head out.
Max's? I don't think they do Uber.
They don't. I'll figure it out.
Well, we'll figure out. You want one more?
I do.
I'm all the way down.
All right.
The show's at 3:30. We're out of time. What if we go in between?
We can go in between.
Because isn't there 4 hours?
3:30 to 6-ish, and then we have probably 2 hour break.
We can go.
Yeah, we can go. Or we can go.
Yeah, I'll wrap fast. I don't think they're going to let me do the long meet and greet because they want to get the next comic in there. Essentially, you guys, I have 6 shows here in Philadelphia. Sunday, which is today, I have the 3:30 show, and then there's like a 4-hour gap because they already had a show booked before the show that I was booked to do because it was going to be my 5th show. But because of Montreal, we had to move. So anyway, I have a 3:30 show, then there's another comic doing a show, and then I come back with the late show tonight. We got all 6 shows in. All 6 shows are sold out. And what's the next city?
Richmond, Virginia. And then we got Colorado Springs and Buffalo and Chicago.
Everyone keeps talking about Nashville. I thought it was soon.
Nashville is the beginning of September. So we still got a month.
Wow. So if you guys are in any of those 4 cities, you need to make sure that you come tap in. 2023 has been sold out. So what you're looking for isn't tickets to the conventional shows. You're looking for added shows.
Right.
And when you see an added show, I need you to pull up. If you are listening to this, if you are the person who's the primary listener, thank you. If you are walking by the primary listener, if they're playing it in a car and you've listened this long, listen, I'm doing New York Comedy Festival. This is like a big, prestigious, industry-heavy festival. Myself and Donnell Rollins are the only African-Americans I see being marketed on the website. As a matter of fact, I'm not being marketed on the website, despite being the hottest ticket seller that I see coming to the town hall.
Right.
That could get me. I shouldn't talk like that, but I'm being honest. Like, I went online, I looked, I saw the seating charts for everyone. And the part that's okay for me to talk about is that I'm not going to say the names of the other acts that I also checked. But I did check, and I have 15 to 16 times the sales of other people, but I'm not in the banner on the site. There's nothing more than my name in letters down in the middle of the rest of the lineups. There's no images of me on that page.
Yeah.
They show a picture of the marketing that's running in Times Square. I'm not even on that. So for me to be selling like this, and maybe their energy is, hey, this kid's clearly selling out. Let's put our energy into some of the slower ones.
Sure.
But that shouldn't be my concern.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I've been doing this shit 18 years, and nobody that's doing this festival was trying to look out for me in that regard.
Right.
And whilst I'm a lover and big on teamwork, that's not my responsibility to come to this level of comedy and then help everybody else sell some tickets. Like, that's not what we're doing.
That's not how it is,
No. It's November 9th. We got over 1,000 tickets sold to it. It only holds 1,400. 1,492 people. If you have any intentions of going, if New York is within driving distance, or you wanted to take a trip to New York, or you were due for a trip to Canal Street, or you got a cousin that's out there, or you got a cousin in Philly, and you're from somewhere else, and you guys are like, yo, we got to meet up.
Yep.
Why not New York? Slide.
Best time.
Pull up on me. Get you a hotel in New Jersey so you can save the money on staying in the city. Come in the 15 minutes or on the train or on the bus, on the car, on the Uber, yeah, the black car, and let's do this, man. November 9th is going down, New York Comedy Festival, and it's my first theater show in my life where I'm the headliner. I'm who you came to see.
It's amazing. I can't wait to be there.
They're going to try to probably squeeze something in before that, but I think it should just, that might just need to be the one.
Yeah. The other thing I'm going to say is if there's shows that get added, I see this in your comments a lot, is just to let people know, like, the important thing is to get in the room. Because everyone's like, man, I'm so bummed I'm not going to see there's no Roast Zone tickets left. It's like, no, just
that's
get
lame.
In the room.
I tell you right now, you're a cornball. I get that you want to interact with me and you're like, but to say I'm not going unless I'm in the front is nuts. One.
Which it happens, yeah.
One, I'm not just talking to the front.
No.
I literally spent 10, 20 minutes in last night's set roasting the guy with a big-ass forehead that was in the back of the room.
Yeah.
No one's safe.
Yeah.
We talked to a gaggle of Dominican chicks, and I'm like, which one's the whore? You know what I mean? They're like, we all are. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So just get in the room, man. It's an experience. And for those of you wondering, like, is he telling jokes? Yes, I'm telling jokes. It's not just a bunch of just crowd work. And, like, I have material. I'm just – I gauge off of the audience if you're about to get 100% crowd material – if you're going to get an 80-20, 70-30, 60-40, 50-50, what we're going to do.
Yeah.
But we're having a great time.
Every show's different. So
yeah.
People are coming out to...
Show's different. They come to multiple shows in one weekend. The merch is moving. People, yeah. The meet and greets are off the chain. It's free. I want to meet you guys.
Yeah.
I haven't had a chance to get out in the country and be whatever, blown up or whatever you want to call it. This is my first chance meeting y'all. I want to shake hands, take pictures, you know. But the thing for me is that what I did last night for the first time is... it's not over. Like you, so you watch videos, you share videos, you were motivated enough to come buy a ticket, you come, and then I'm actually good.
Yeah.
Right. Like, how many times have you taken a chance on your social media person, and then you're like, man, I mean, he was cool. Like, I love
his
him.
Best stuff's online.
Right.
Yeah. That's not the case.
You come in with me, and you're like, yo, he was a whole Easter egg basket. I didn't know what was under that little green stuff.
Yeah. You know, what's funny is one of the. And we do got to finish because we have a show in less than an hour.
I just wanted to say, you guys, when you come to a show, if you enjoy it, you need to share it. Tell it. The story isn't just, oh, I got tickets. I'm so glad I got them. If you had a good time, spread the word.
Yeah, yeah. Buy tickets for a friend.
We are all we got, man. You saw it?
Yeah.
Who else did you see this year? Yeah. Go ahead and say what you thought. Like, man, I saw this person. I saw Nate, and boom.
Yep.
You can say I'm trash.
That's fine.
I don't care. But say something.
Yeah, yeah.
Spread the word, y'all.
All right. Richmond, Virginia, Colorado Springs, Buffalo, and Chicago, and Nashville. You're up next. And, man, this was fun. We're right at an hour.
Right.
All right.
Peace.